Great to see you all out tonight. Hope you had a good afternoon, rested up, and ready to hear a little bit more of God's Word. You know, salvation requires us to take righteous action. And that's what this lesson tonight is about. It's about overcoming the obstacles in your life in order to achieve salvation. And we're going to talk about a couple of stories in the Bible that help to show us that, help to show us how to do that. So, I got a few questions for you tonight. Do you have a repeated sin in your life that you need to repent of? Did you commit this sin this month? Did you commit it this week? Are you sitting there tonight, and you're not a Christian? Are you sitting here and you haven't been baptized? And if this is the case, any of these, then you need to take righteous action. Now, if you don't know what righteous action is, I'm going to explain it throughout this sermon, so don't worry about that. But tonight's text is Luke chapter 19, and it's verses 1 through 10. Now, this is the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. But I'm going to give a little bit of background first, which I think is kind of interesting here. So this story comes on the heels of the story of the rich young ruler. If you remember that story, it's in Luke 18. And Jesus tells this young ruler to give up his riches in order to gain salvation. And the rich young ruler refuses to take action and he goes away sorrowfully. You remember that? So he's sad when he goes away. But what did Jesus say right after that? In Luke 18, verse 24, we're going to read verses 24 through 27. He said, "And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, 'How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And those who heard it said, 'Who then can be saved?' But he said, 'The things which are impossible with men are possible with God.'" Now, I want to tell you something here, because I researched this. I think I researched it twice, and I finally came to the correct conclusion. But oftentimes you'll hear the eye of a needle is this arch that a camel would get down on its knees and have to go through. And it didn't mean a literal eye of a needle, but it actually does mean the literal eye of a needle. So Jesus was saying this is impossible without God. But with God, it's possible. So we're going to go on into that. So the story of Zacchaeus is the fulfillment of this statement by Jesus. So chapter 18, we have this story. We're going into chapter 19 now. After that background, and let's read what I said originally, Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" So Zacchaeus was very rich and he was chief among the publicans. Now publicans were tax collectors that worked for the Roman government and they were looked at with contempt. They were allowed to take and extort as much money from citizens as they could get away with, and they got bonuses from the Roman government. Now remember, this was like defecting, okay? They were turning against the Jewish people. Zacchaeus was Jewish. So he's working for the Romans, basically the mortal enemies of the Jewish people. They did not like the way they were being treated by the Romans. Now, a similar thing happened in World War II. Some of the Jewish people actually worked for the Nazis. And one of these was named Vital Hasson. He was leader of the Salonika Jewish police. He was willing to do anything for power. He was willing to do anything for money. And here's an excerpt of what he did. I'm going to read it here. Hasson, it was said, raced through the ghetto in a horse-drawn carriage and made his fellow Jews sweep the streets. He stole from the imprisoned, carrying around the ghetto an open bag into which women and men were expected to place what jewels or money they had managed to hang on to. And he identified young men to be inducted into forced labor. He also abused and even raped women and established a sex trade with the imprisoned Jewish women. So, this man was very powerful for a period of time. But he was caught fleeing after World War II. He was caught by the British. They transported him to Greece, and they executed him. And I ask you, did this way of life work for Vital Hasson? It didn't, did it? It didn't work. And I can guarantee you, unless there was some repentance there, it didn't work in the afterlife either. Now back to Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus, he was a Jew who worked for Rome. And he was well compensated for that. But he was willing to overcome the challenges that he had, the temptations of his life. He was willing to overcome them in order to follow Jesus. Now, Zacchaeus was small in stature, but that doesn't matter in the eternal scheme of things, and I'm glad about that. But Zacchaeus had grown spiritually, and that does matter. He took action. We read in verse 4 there that he ran out before Jesus and he climbed a tree to catch a glimpse of him. In verse 5, Jesus looks up and he sees Zacchaeus and he tells him to make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, Jesus knew something. He knew that when somebody is ready to repent, you got to get them there. You got to take action with them, right? Because what happens with delay, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? That delay causes bad problems when you're looking to repent, when you're looking to do the right thing. So Jesus, he says, today I must abide at thy house. Now remember, Zacchaeus had a lot of Roman respect. He had a lot of financial stability to lose. He had a lot to lose here. His whole life was going to change if he took this action. And many in the world, they would say his whole life is going to change for the worse. But he took action because the wise, they know that all worldly riches and powerful worldly connections will fade away. And I want to tell you something. Replace riches with whatever's in that place of God, whatever's getting in your way, you can replace the word riches with that. Because God doesn't care. If it's riches, he doesn't care. If it's women, he doesn't care. If it's the drink, he doesn't care. It's all sin to him. And so what we have to do is we have to look out and make sure we haven't got something there that we need to repent of. Now, what about the wise that know worldly riches and power and worldly connections will fade away? Who's somebody that knew that? Hebrews 11 verses 24 and 25 tells us of one such person. And it reads, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How long ago did Moses live? How many times over would he have died already? And then you've got to face that eternity. And so the wise know, oh, what I'm gaining is this much. It's like a penny trading it for $1 million. And that is not nearly a good analogy because it was way more than that. But would you ever trade a penny for you trade a penny for $1 million, but would you trade a penny in or $1 million in for a penny? No, you wouldn't. Nobody would do that because that is a bad deal. We can all see that, but we need to see that eternity compared to this life is that same kind of equation. It is not worth it. It is not a good trade. Moses knew it. He knew that the real, eternal destiny is worth far more than anything we can do here. Now, Zacchaeus couldn't keep what he had been doing. He couldn't keep doing it, making this financial gain. He had to go straight. As they say, if you're in the mafia or some other organization, you have to go straight. You have to take action in order to do that, and sometimes there's consequences. We know that there's been many people that try to get out of something, and they may lose their life for it. But if they do the right thing, that's what matters, especially with God, because He is the person that is going to be, the being that is going to be in charge of our eternal destiny. Now, what the rich young ruler couldn't do is give up his earthly gain. Zacchaeus was able to do that. And we need to understand just how powerful that is. The rich young ruler couldn't do it. Zacchaeus did it. And that reinforced what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18. He said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." By putting God first. And again, without God, there's no reason to give up these things in our life. There's no reason to give up ill-gotten gain. There's no reason to give up these things. But with God, there is every reason. Now, will you give up these things? That's the question. If there's something in your life and you may be the only one who knows what it is, will you give that up in exchange for eternal glory? Something that you can't see exactly right now. We can see it in the Bible. We know it's to come. But will you give that up for eternal glory? So the wise know that their sustenance comes from God. It doesn't come from greed. It doesn't come from hoarding worldly goods and money. It comes from God. In Luke 12, we read about another man who failed to take righteous action. I want you to turn there with me. It's Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 20 is what we're going to read. Luke 12, 16 through 20. And the Lord is going to tell this parable. It says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?'" So both the rich young ruler and this rich fool, they chose poorly, didn't they? They chose their security to be in earthly riches or these earthly things, as we talk about, and they failed to take righteous action. We might think that we don't have a problem with faith in God for our sustenance, that that might apply to someone else. But what's worry about our finances, our bank accounts, our health insurance, our country's resources, but a lack of faith that God can take care of us? I think we need to think about that, because I think every one of us talk about that quite a lot. But we need to know eternally, everything's in God's control, and our eternal destiny is in God's hands. Now, the wise know that their most valuable asset is their eternal soul, and they will give up that earthly gain, those earthly pleasures, with joy. And how do we know? Let's look at Mark 8, verse 36. Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Now, Zacchaeus, in that reading, he gave up his earthly gain with joy. Now, how difficult is that? We need to think about that. With joy we give it up, because we know what's in store for us eternally. Now, we often try to give ourselves power. I want you to listen to this. I think this is very important. We often try to give ourselves power and then we sin, and we want no punishment for it. But I want to ask you, what did God do? What did Jesus do? He gave up His power, and He came to earth as a man. He didn't sin, and then He took the punishment. So we're sinning, we want no punishment. He didn't sin, and He took on our punishment. It's exactly the opposite, and we've got to try and we get inverted, we get upside down. We've got to be more like Jesus. What Jesus did, that's true humility, that's true strength, not trying to take power, not trying to bully your way through, which we see in the world all the time, but giving up earthly power and relying on God. And like I said, it's just the opposite of what we try to do. And it is our natural tendency, I have to say. I know it too. It's our natural tendency to want that power, to not want punishment for the bad things we do. And we must fight against it. Another thing, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, didn't he? He knew what his sins were, and he took action, and he repented of them. He didn't tell Jesus, I'll repent soon. I'm going to repent tomorrow. You know, they say that's the devil's favorite time for you to do it. He wants you to repent tomorrow. He didn't do that. Luke 19, verse 8 lets us know he had thought about his repentance. He had a plan. He came to Jesus with an actionable plan. He had thought about it. He stated that he was willing to give half of his money to the poor, and that if he had taken anything by false deceit or accusation, he would restore it fourfold. He had felt that guilt, and then he took righteous action, doing the right thing. He had thought about it. And like we said, verse 6 shows that Zacchaeus was joyful about it. He was joyful about his repentance, about turning away from that extra money, about turning away from that power, about turning away from being with the in crowd, right? The Romans, very powerful. We know how powerful they were. But what does it say there in verse 6? It says, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He received Jesus joyfully. Can we do that? So Zacchaeus was the fulfillment of what Jesus said there in Luke 18 about the rich young ruler, that it is near impossible for a rich man to enter heaven, but with God anything is possible, by putting God first. Now Zacchaeus shows us how to do it. He took action. That's one of the biggest things that is missing in today's world, is the ability to take action. We procrastinate. All of us have done it. We can't do it with something this important, with our eternal destiny. But Zacchaeus, he gave up bad habits. He gave bountifully. He put God first, and he restored fourfold to all that he had taken advantage of. And if only people would do that today in our world, if they would, I don't know, there'd be a lot of people getting money, wouldn't there? Now, after his righteous action, Zacchaeus is accepted by Jesus, and the only thing he has that is of eternal value, his soul, is safe now. So it's all worth it. In verse 10, Jesus was happy to bring salvation to another lost sinner because it was what he had come to do, to inspire action, to inspire turning away from sin. Galatians 5, verse 24 says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucified those things that we want, those things that are easier. And we go after those tough things. Sometimes they're tough here on earth, but the eternal reward is great. Now, Jesus was looked down upon for associating with sinners. Luke 19, verse 7 tells us that. But Jesus was not and is not a respecter of persons. He is not partial. We seldom find that in this world. But He was happy to associate with the lowly and with sinners and to bring them to salvation. But we need to remember, too, He told them about it, didn't He? He didn't hang on their coats and go around following them all over the place. He told them about it. He made sure they understood. And then He left the decision up to them. So I got a few questions for you. Are you trapped in a situation that's holding you in sin right now, tonight. If you are, you need to take righteous action. Are you lost and seeking a way to get your salvation back? If so, you need to take righteous action. Are you sitting here today and you know that you need to get rid of some unrighteous activity in your life? Then you need to take righteous action. Now, if you have that need today, this is the opportunity. This is the time. It's the time you can get prayers from this congregation. It's the time that you can come forward and be baptized for the remission of your sins. This is the appointed time. We shouldn't wait. We don't know if we have tomorrow. None of us do. It doesn't matter your age. I had a friend that passed away. I found out about it at church. I had trained his son for athletic training for basketball. I had known him for 10 years. He was 44, the same age I am now. And they were doing announcements, and somebody from the back said, "Pray for the Ray family because Brent Ray passed away Friday. And he had had a heart attack and died. There was no way to know it. He was just a normal guy." And I will tell you, we don't need to wait. We need to take action. We need to make things right if they're not right. And the Bible lays out what we have to do to be saved in the plan of salvation. It's very plain language. First, you need to hear Romans 10:17. Believe, Hebrews 11:6. Repent, Luke 13:3. Confess, Matthew 10:32. Be baptized. This is a tough one for a lot of people. Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, and many more. And you need to be faithful. Revelation 2:10. I hope that you will overcome the obstacles that may be in your life right now, the things holding you back from getting in the right relationship with God. Climb a tree, give up half your money, do whatever you have to do. But I'm telling you, get your life in order now. We don't know if we have tomorrow. Now, if you need the prayers of the congregation or if you have need of baptism, come down to the front row and we'll make it simple for you. We'll do everything we can for you. If you have that need, come now as together we stand and sing.